sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, April 29th.
Good morning.
Good morning. God, my hands are so sweaty this morning. Maybe because it's warm. I don't know. I hate it.
Like the clamminess?
Yeah, the clamminess, you know?
I usually get that when I'm nervous or...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not nervous this morning, but nothing to be nervous of, you know?
So I'd say, do I make you nervous, Sam?
Well, by now, no. You are dressed beautifully this morning, though. I mean, you match the colors like, what, gray and red or something?
Yeah.
It looks very good, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, you always dress very tastefully. That's cool.
Thank you.
It feels good to leave the house like that, right?
It does.
Yeah.
It definitely does.
Some people just leave the house in their jammies, you know? I don't get it.
At least they're comfortable for the day, I guess.
Yeah, you know? That's it. But they figure, hey, if nobody's going to see me... And people are going to see you.
Yeah, they do.
And, I can't leave the house unshaved, not dressed, you know, halfway decent and stuff. So, it just makes me feel better, you know. I don't want to be, you know, I look myself in the mirror. I go, you know what? Some guys, young guys look great unshaven and stuff, but I don't, you know. So I better shave every morning, you know. And that's the thing. So I can never get out of it, you know.
No, definitely. And I agree. I mean, some people... They just like slumming it and going out. But I don't know. I like looking nice. And
yeah. Did you ever used to dress nice? Always?
In college, no. Because I swam, I was constantly in sweats.
Oh, really?
Constantly.
Whoa.
Because I just didn't... I mean, the last thing I wanted to do after waking up at 4:30, swimming for 2 hours, doing an hour of dry land before going to class... is look nice.
That's true.
So, no. In college, I always looked like a bum. But you could tell the athletes from the non-athletes because all of the athletes looked terrible.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just constantly in sweats.
Wow.
So, no. But I've always had a lot of shoes. My shoe collection is pretty ridiculous.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Women love shoes. I don't understand that, but...
Yeah, my shoe collection is not okay.
Yeah.
I need to give some away.
Whoa.
Definitely.
How many pairs do you think you have? Like 70 or something?
Yeah, over 100.
Over 100 pairs?
Yeah.
Do you wear all of them?
Not as much anymore.
Not as much, right?
No, because, I mean, a lot of them are really, really high, and they're just not practical. I just can't wear them every day.
Yeah.
So I stick to probably the same 4 or 5 pairs of shoes, which is terrible.
Well, that's...
But I just don't want to part with them, because I'm like, I'll wear those at some point. I know I will. For one outfit, they're going to be perfect, and I know the day I get rid of them, the next day I'll want to wear them.
Yeah.
For sure. That's always the way.
Wow.
Always the way.
How long have you had some of them? Like many years?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, definitely. Yeah, it's just memorabilia, you know. You probably will never wear them again.
I know.
Because you always, you know, I mean, we always try to stay up with the fashion and everything, you know. So something new comes out, you want to wear that, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing, but it's cool, you know. And you mentioned yesterday, I think it was that you used to be like a tomboy and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many, you know, very feminine women say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. And I guess at some point you sort of like hit the, you know, like my daughter too, she's been a tomboy, you know, she's still, she's a lot more feminine than she used to be, but it used to be like black t-shirts with skulls and stuff, you know?
Right.
And things like that, you know?
Yeah, I wore the big skater sneakers, like Vons, and I can't remember the other type of shoes that I would wear, and I would go to the skate park, and yeah. That's what I did in high school. What was I doing?
I know. But I guess you hit a certain point in your life where you just change, you know, and you become
it was the last couple of years I was in England, but then coming to America, really, that kind of changed me a lot.
Really, huh? Well, I wonder why, you know, you come all the way here to a new culture.
I know.
It would change you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I've changed quite a bit, and I came here at 16, so I was still a kid. But But I feel it changed me completely. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have been a different person had I stayed in Israel. I know that.
Oh, completely. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Like, I see what other my friends or people I know are doing now, and I just can't imagine going back and living in England. I really can't.
Yeah.
It's just a totally different culture and life.
Right.
And I mean, I could get used to going to the pub every night.
Right.
And eating the food in England. I miss it so much.
Like, really?
Because,
you know,
rolls
tourists and always criticize the food in England.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Yeah. And that's what I don't get. Uh-huh. And I was actually talking to Miranda on Friday after the show, and I was saying how much I miss the food, and she was like, I know, when people go to England and say the food's like bad, right, they must have just gone to a bad pub or a bad restaurant, because they, like, a lot of the tourist places aren't that good. You have to go to a local place,
right?
So it's funny we were talking about that, but it is, I think people go to not places that aren't good,
right?
Because, like, you go to a place that you just see, you don't know the local good pubs.
Exactly. Yeah, you need to be you need to be referred somewhere.
Exactly. Completely.
You know, recommended. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then check it out. You're right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just walk around Piccadilly Circus and there's nothing there. You know, it's all like weird food. I don't know. I like walked there. I was there a couple of years ago for about a couple of days on my way to Israel, and I had fun. You know, but the thing is I couldn't find anything to eat. You know, I really couldn't, you know.
Next time you go, you need to go to the local bakery. This is for everyone out there that's going to England or will at some point. The local bakeries have the best pastries.
Really?
In the entire world.
Wow.
There's this thing called a sausage roll, and it's sausage in the middle, and it's just pastry on the outside. And there's a steak and mushroom pie, steak and kidney pie, chicken and mushroom pie, cheese and onion pasty, all these amazing, amazing foods. And then when you go to the pub, you can get... My mom's actually at the pub right now. I spoke to her before I came on air. And she's at the pub right now. But she's on a diet, so she's drinking a gin and tonic instead of a pint, because I'm a pint girl too. Like drinking my pint. But I'm pretty sure they're going to have a Sunday dinner, which is a traditional British dinner, which you have like a type of meat. Uh-huh. I like having roast beef, and then you have apple sauce or mint sauce with it, and Yorkshire pudding, which is like another kind of pastry thing.
Right.
With mashed potato, vegetables, gravy, stuffing, and just the
mouth-watering.
Yeah, it really is. And you can go to certain places in England where they carve it off. They carve the meat off right in front of your face, and you can pick exactly what you want. And
right.
It's special carveries.
Yeah.
And but people don't, the people that are just visiting don't know of these places.
Exactly. That's
but the
true.
Food, I love the food in England. And the chip shop, the chippy. You can't beat fish and chips.
Yeah.
A battered sausage with curry sauce. Now I'm going off a food rant.
Yeah,
I'm hungry. I didn't eat breakfast this morning, so this is a bad idea.
I know, you're making me hungry. Wow. I'm sure everybody's salivating right now. It sounds good. And you mentioned sausage. I love sausage.
The
sausage
rolls. And my mom sends me packages, but she's not allowed to send. You can only get certain things through customs, and sausage rolls don't go through customs.
Really?
It's a really big bummer.
Yeah,
I love sausage rolls. I'm like, can you please just send me a pack of sausage rolls?
Wow. But I'll bet you there's like British stores here and stuff. Might be markets.
There are, but they're just not the same.
No?
No.
Wow.
I went to a British pub around here. It was like 5 minutes away. And I got an English breakfast. And it was good, but it's just not the same.
Not the same.
No. Well, not the same. But it was better than nothing.
Yeah.
It satisfied me for a while. It had English bacon. Because English bacon is more like Canadian bacon.
Uh-huh.
It's not the crispy...
Right.
It's American
like
bacon.
Round,
like thick. So they did that. And baked beans with breakfast.
Baked beans with breakfast?
Yeah,
wow,
we have baked beans
unusual.
With breakfast. And sausage and bacon. You have both of them. And it's big, thick sausage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I love sausages. There's a place here. Have you been to Bratz Brothers here on Ventura Boulevard?
I haven't, but I heard it's really good.
It's really good. You got to go. You know, they give you like a hot pretzel that just comes out of the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually get like a sampler plate, so I get like four different ones,
ooh, that
like German
good.
And Swiss and, you know, whatever. And they're amazing. You know, you got to go. And it's down the street from here, you know. So
yeah,
you can check
it out. I'll have to go for sure.
I know. Yeah, that's one thing about L.A. There's a lot of eateries, you know.
Right.
A lot of great places to eat.
Yeah.
You know.
So many.
Yeah. L.A. gets, you know, doesn't get good reputation for some things, you know. And people will tell you, oh, New York restaurants are better, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think there's plenty here, you know.
And I think there's a good range of food here.
Yeah, except 90% is sushi, but
that's
did
true.
You notice?
Very, very true.
The sushi bar at every corner.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
It's very true. And I like sushi, but it's an overload of sushi.
Yeah, I know.
Everywhere.
I know. I like sushi too, but not too much, you know. I mean, I can have it once a week or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. You can't have that. It's not something you can have every night.
Right. Some people
or
can, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people can. I mean, they love sushi, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's also I can't eat just any kind of sushi, you know. I can't have the really meaty stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. It's got to be more like rolls and, you mm-hmm. know, things like that.
I like the ahi tuna.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know. There's a lot of great stuff. And there's a place here where we go. They also make, like, barbecue ribs, like, you know, those, like, flat ribs.
Wow.
And...
That sounds
you know,
good.
like Japanese style. Mm-hmm. They're amazing.
The bad thing, well, it's a bad and a good thing. I love all food. There's literally nothing I don't like.
Really?
So it sucks for people when they say, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, I'm not picky. I'll eat anything. But when it's things, I just love food.
Right.
I love food. And it's a problem because I just eat so much.
Really? Wow.
But I don't know. I like trying all different things. I mean, I'll eat anything. Frog's legs, octopus.
Wow.
I really will try and eat everything. And the likeliness of me liking it is probably very high.
Wow.
I even liked the thing before the main meal on Passover.
Yeah, the gefilte fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I even liked that. And everyone's
you won't
like it, Charlotte. I'm like, guaranteed I do. Human garbage disposal. I'll eat anything. And I don't stop.
Whoa.
A lot of people can stop when they are full, but I can't until my face.
Really?
Is, no.
So you have to be
can't.
Like really stuffed.
Yeah. And I always eat too much, but I hate leaving food.
Yeah. You're lucky you've got some great genes, I'm telling you. Otherwise, you'd be a lot heavier than you are.
I am. Thanks to my mom. I do have some good genes.
All right. Well, we're going to call our guest today. This is a guest that we're going to be calling, and his name is Tom Wilde, and he wrote a fiction book called The Blood of Alexander, and it's sort of like an Indiana Jones type of adventure, and I love this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for it. So I wanted to have him on the show. So let's give him a call, Tom Wilde. It's his debut novel, and the name sounded familiar, but I guess it's the first one. The Blood of Alexander.
Hello. No one is available to take your call.
Oh, no. He's probably on another interview. We'll try him in a moment again.
That was a very...
Yeah.
Interesting voicemail.
I know, a British one, right?
What is it? Very recorded.
Yeah.
Hello. No one is available right now.
I know. You wonder if some people still have those machines. You know?
Yeah, it did sound like a landline.
Yeah, it is a landline.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, he gave us a landline. Let's try him again and see. And if we don't get through, we'll keep trying every couple minutes because he's probably doing another interview, I think. Oh, no. What is this? This is like a fax machine now. Wow. You know what? Let me try. They gave us another number here. So let me try that as a backup number, and let's see if that works. That's weird, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's very weird.
It is.
First an answering machine and then a fax. Okay, let's try this one. Usually I like when they call in, but with this PR company, they are just used to having us call them.
Right.
You know, so... Yeah, he's probably not going to answer. I think he's on. Yeah, Tom, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we tried you on the other number, so I hope it's okay to call here. But
this is good. Did you call 916-355-1946?
Yeah, you don't. No, not 46. I guess it's a different number. So they probably gave us the wrong number. But that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay, as long as we have the backup one. So, Tom Wilde, where are we calling you this morning? What part of the country are you in?
In California.
Oh, in California. Oh. Wow.
Sunny California.
What part? Northern, Southern California?
Oh, no, about the central section there.
Oh, in the
so,
south.
Yeah, it's nice and sunny and awfully dry.
Oh, wow, wow. Sounds good. So have you lived there all your life, or did you move from somewhere else?
Oh, pretty much. Yeah, I started life in Washington up north, but that was I was a small child then.
Oh,
came
I
back
see.
In a covered wagon.
Yeah. And I guess you figured, yeah, it's too cold and too rainy up there, huh?
Well, right now, rainy sounds good.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's been so dry here.
Right.
And we're getting some Santa Ana winds, what they call so those dry, hot winds we get here. And they're really, really blowing this morning. So, Tom, you wrote a debut novel called The Blood of Alexander. And this grabbed me because you guys describe it as an Indiana Jones type of a thing. And I'm a sucker for these books. I love this stuff. And you got some endorsements from Steve Berry, who's big in this genre. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of praise for this. So tell us a little bit about the book. What is the plot about, Tom? And what can we expect?
Well, the plot starts with the modern day, and there's a gentleman named Jonathan Blake, and he is a thief of antiquities. But the twist with him is that he only steals from artifact looters and other thieves. His goal is to, you know, preserve the past.
Right.
And in the particular story here, he goes up against a villainous character named Vanya, who's the head of a worldwide cult, and the two of them are racing against each other to not only find the tomb, the lost tomb of Alexander the Great, but they have to also uncover some mysteries behind Napoleon Bonaparte and how those two historical figures have mixed together.
Wow. Wow.
Wow,
Yeah. They didn't live at the same time, did they? I mean, that was different times altogether.
Oh, millions.
Thousands.
yeah, thousands of years apart. But yeah. Napoleon, during his conquest, he wound up going to Alexandria and Egypt, and right. he followed Alexander's trail. And at one point, there's a legend that Napoleon stated that he wanted to be buried in Alexander's sarcophagus.
Oh, wow. Very interesting. But, so, I mean, did Napoleon know where it was, and it's a lost tomb since then, or did they never know?
Well, what happens is after Alexander the Great passed away, his body was taken and he was interred in Alexandria, Egypt, the city he founded. And for centuries after that, like Roman generals would often come, you know, to, you know, visit the final resting place of Alexander. But then hundreds of years ago, it just became lost. And, you know, to this day, we don't know where his final resting place is.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, very interesting. So I imagine with a story like this, you have many locales and everything. I have not started reading the book because I just got it yesterday or today. Yeah, yesterday was Monday. And but I plan to read every page through the end because it sounds fascinating to me. So I would imagine, have you been to the locales, actually the ones that you mentioned in the book?
I've been to a few of them. The rest of them had to be, you know, through research. So, yeah, I guess the trick with trying to write these things is to make sure that you can't tell which ones I've been to and which ones you can't.
Right, yeah.
How did you come up with this idea? Because fiction is completely different to an autobiography or a book about something that you've been through, which is most of the people on the show, that's what we interview. They've written a book that of something that
right,
they've
like
been
nonfiction.
Through.
Right, like nonfiction.
Yeah, right. That, thanks. That was it. How do you come up with a fiction idea that you think is going to work?
Well, this particular one came up, well, I'll tell you, one of the first people that read a draft of my book said, "But wow, your love of history really comes through." And I said, "No, you're completely wrong. History frustrates me to no end in the fact that, you know, there's so much we don't know, so much we've lost." So, you know, as I'm, you know, looking at history and finding, you know, more questions than there are answers, you know, these things just started to bother me. So when I wrote this book, this was kind of, you know, me taking the best theories of history, wrapping them up with a story, and, you know, hopefully providing at least some entertaining answers, if not right ones.
Right, yeah. And he came up with, an amazing story, I think.
Yeah.
And it's a big undertaking, because it's not like, you know, writing a novel from something that you already know and things like that. It's you know, I would imagine something like this, since you're not a historian, would take you a long time. And because you have to be accurate, you know, you describe certain places. You want to be accurate and stuff. So so you put in a lot of time and effort into this.
And I did. This is what I called my kitchen sink research monster project.
How long did it take you to write?
The actual writing took the better part of a year. And then actually the story was completed in 2007, but, you know, because of the downturns in the economy, only made it out to, now.
Right.
But, in that time, when I would find new facts or uncover new theories, I could always go back and, weave those in.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
So, and then you found a major publisher, which must have been, you must have been ecstatic about, because I know it's so hard to get books published today, right? Unless you do it yourself, and then the potential for an audience is not as big as where you go mm-hmm. through a publisher.
Yeah, when they talk about with publishing yourself, then you have to become really your own best salesman, your own best representative.
Right.
And I've always been afraid that I would be the world's worst salesman, even though, I believe in what I've done and I think it's entertaining. I would just have a hard time, putting that across.
Right.
Exactly. And you have to have a different kind of mind to be able to do that side of things. Obviously, you have a very creative mind because you've written the book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've actually met people that can do both. I remember one time meeting someone who was just, like I said, just an absolute brilliant salesperson. I was like, wow, it's like I don't know anything about that type of book, but, I buy it because of the way the person represents it. I think with me, I have to be stuck, hoping that people will like the words I've written as opposed to how I can present them.
Yes, absolutely. But that's the thing. You have to have a knack for writing. And apparently you discovered this at this point in your life. Had you written things before you wrote this one?
Yeah, I've had some things written before. This is the first book of this type, I should say under this name, too. But prior to that, I was a professional criminal investigator. And, the difference there is, when you're writing police reports, they have to be dry and concise, as complete opposite
right.
of writing for entertainment.
Right.
Yeah.
And I frequently think that when I was doing both at the same time, I would hope, please don't let me confuse the two. You don't want to bore the audience.
Yeah. So when you were an investigator, what were you working on? What kind of cases were you working on?
I had just about every type of case there is, but at one point I was assigned to the Child Abduction Unit. And because we had state and federal monies, we were able to actually, travel throughout the country and the world in efforts to recover children.
Wow.
That's where a lot of my international travel came from.
So when you were traveling internationally for that job, that was kind of when you discovered bits that you used in the book?
That'd be for, some of the backgrounds, the landscapes, different customs, and again, traveling to, shall we say, perform something that can be dangerous.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I know I've spoken to people who are actually getting kids from other countries and stuff, just like you're describing, and this is something that you have to do on your own, right? It's not like you get assistance from that government. I mean, sometimes you just have to go in sort of secretly. Is that correct?
Well, there are times that you can get, assistance from the government, but it's frequently limited, and more often than not, you're actually unsure of how much, help you're going to get.
Right.
Like anything, the trick is to get in, get the job accomplished, and then get out.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Wow. And there are parents that abduct their children too, right? Like people that go through divorce and stuff, and then they move back to their country of origin, and they take the kids with them.
Oh, absolutely. And, like I say, there's a whole, legal entanglement process. But, once we have the go-ahead, and frequently we'd work with Interpol or go through The Hague, and get the legal at all to do what we had to do.
Yeah.
You still have the trouble that you're in someone else's country, they've got friends, relatives, and sometimes the police in their pocket.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
wow.
For sure.
Wow. How long did you do that for?
I did that for several years. Again, that was, you know, part of my my job. I also worked other, you know, cases all the way up to and including homicide cases. But that was probably the most exacting. And, you know, what I would do frequently at that point is when I also discovered writing, because, you know, these cases would be so frustrating to work on. But in my off times, I'd work on stories where the endings could come out good.
Wow.
So that was almost like therapy for me when I did that.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, this is, I'm always fascinated by fiction writers because, you know, I mean, you've got to really have a creative mind and everything. You know, I'm a pretty creative person, but I don't, and I probably could start a book, but I can't see finishing it, you know, because, so I wanted to ask you, I usually ask this of fiction writers, do you know how the story is going to turn out before you write the book, or does it turn out as you're writing it? Does it develop?
For me, yeah, the end point is where I usually started. Like with this particular book, I just had this scene pictured in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, I had to go back to the very beginning to create a character and then create a villain and then create the story of how, you know, the villain and the hero gets from point A to the end point that I imagined and everything they had to do to get to that point.
Right. And that totally makes sense.
So I knew
sense.
Where I was heading, but frequently I wind up with surprises and detours myself.
Right. Well, that's the thing. That's so you sort of like make the discovery as you go, as you write.
Again, with me, as I'm doing it, I'm also trying to incorporate as much actual, you know, historical research as I can.
Right.
And frequently I hit roadblocks where, you know, something had, you know, occurred or was the most likely historical scenario. I think, well, okay, now I got to work around that because, you know, I know that I shouldn't let facts get in the way of good story, but I also want to keep as many facts and theories as I can in this particular one.
Yeah, because people are going to pick it apart, you know. I mean, once something is in the public, man, there's always people to criticize and everything, you know.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. Well, Tom Wilde, the book is The Blood of Alexander, and this is, of course, about Alexander the Great we're talking about. And if you're also a Napoleon fan, you're going to find pieces on that as well in the book.
And just one more thing, if I may.
Sure.
In the course of it, I also throw in some theories behind a potential murder of the poet Percy Shelley.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That sounds good. Well, you know, that's the thing. And I think you're going to get a lot of praise for this book.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds, you know, because this genre, I know a lot of people love this stuff, you know.
They definitely do.
They really do. So, well, Tom, thank you so much. Was the book just published?
As a matter of fact, it comes out. Today is the day.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
April 29th.
So I'll be the guy over at the bookstore just standing there staring at it because I'm not quite sure it's real yet.
the person directing, you should really get this book. It's a really good book.
Yeah. When nobody knows you, right? Yeah. Awesome. Well, Tom, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us this morning. All the best to you. I know publishing a book is like delivering a baby. And it's something that you're very proud of, and I congratulate you for that.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Tom. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Wow.
Sounds interesting. I've never been a big reader.
Yeah?
Not a book reader.
That's
but
okay.
I've
I'm doing reading
it,
for you because I read more than the normal person.
I've gotten into it more over the past couple of years, but I've just never been a big reader. But I need to... That sounds interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if you like, but you like movies, right?
Yeah, I love movies.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing is that a book is like a movie, but you get to, it's more personal. You get to consume it at your own pace.
Yeah.
And it lets your imagination run, you know, so.
Completely.
And you'll notice that most people that read books and then they see the movie, they say the book is better.
Yeah,
right?
All the time. And that's, I think, because I love the Hunger Games series. I love those. But I know that I wouldn't like them if I'd read the book.
Really?
So I purposely don't read the book.
Yeah.
Because I would rather see the movie.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And I hate knowing the outcome of a movie.
Right.
So if I've read the book, I wouldn't want to see the movie, because I know what's going to happen.
That's true. But at the same time, sometimes they change the ending in movies.
Yeah, true.
And also, it's nice to see how somebody envisions what you were imagining.
That's true. But also, book, if the character isn't exactly how I thought they should right. look, it's like, why didn't you make it like I thought?
I know. You're right. You're right about you know? That. Yeah. And sometimes the casting is not best either, you know. For the role.
The 50 Shades of Grey movie. I mean, I didn't even read that.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people are going to be disappointed.
You think?
I think so. And I just think with any, that was such a big book.
Yeah, a big
hit.
The
Hunger Games, there wasn't that much hype around the book.
Right.
Or Harry, Potter, yes, there was hype around the book.
But movies, I guess, were good. I mean, fans of the books like the movies.
Yeah, I think 50 Shades, they need to do a really good job.
Yeah,
really good job. They have pressure on them to make this movie.
That's true.
Because there's a lot to live up to.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. You know, there's a movie that actually took the number one in box office this weekend called The Other Woman. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of this, and I really want to see it. It looks hilarious with Cameron Diaz.
Right.
Firstly, I love Cameron Diaz. She's my favorite. I watched Something About Mary.
Really?
This weekend for like the millionth time.
Wow.
And I never gets old. I just love her.
Yeah. And then Kate Upton is in that as well. And so it's supposed to be very good, but it's like they're saying it's a totally chick flick, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they're not even saying go with a woman. It's just saying a girl's night out, you know?
But hey, they did something right because it went to the top of the box office.
It did.
It can't know? Just curious. Be girls. That are, exactly. I think that's the thing. When it goes to the top of the box office, there's curiosity.
Exactly.
And then there's some guys that...
Yeah, well, you're like, I wonder what these women are talking about that they like so much. You know?
Mm-hmm. I really want to see it. Hopefully this weekend.
Yeah, that's good. So let's see. What else did I want to talk about? I wanted to bring up a couple of things. Go ahead.
I just saw this. Walt Disney. Have you ever heard of BuzzFeed? It's those stupid quizzes on Facebook that there's millions of them, and I always take them.
Really?
The ones, it's like, what character from... I don't know, so-and-so movie are you? Or what person from Friends are you?
Yeah, or like
where
what decade are you from?
Yeah, exactly. All those. They're all from BuzzFeed.
And they are?
Yeah. Okay. And Walt Disney was interested in buying out BuzzFeed, obviously, because all these big companies want to keep everything in their name.
Yeah.
But as soon as BuzzFeed valued the company at $1
billion. Wow.
$1 billion, Disney said no. I mean, it's only been around since 2006.
Really? Yeah. And it's just
and
a
it's
website,
already,
right?
Yeah.
It
has 400 employees worldwide, and it attracts more than 130 million monthly unique visitors.
Wow.
130 million unique.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
And they, so it's got to be worth more than a billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as soon as they said that, Disney said, hell no.
Yeah.
I'm not spending $1 million. But it wasn't supposed to come out that Disney tried to buy them out, I guess.
Oh, so it was sort of leaked or something?
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
But $1 billion. It's crazy how... But, I mean, now they have over 400 employees.
Yeah.
They started so small. And that just shows. Because, I mean, a lot of BuzzFeed goes through Facebook.
Right.
And people continue to share things. Because pretty much every article I see shared on the internet links back to BuzzFeed.
Really? Wow. I've never even been on that site. I'll have to check it out and see. So, what, they have articles and stuff like blogs and things?
Yeah.
Like
and
that?
A lot, it's entertainment-based.
Right.
But a lot goes back to BuzzFeed.
Wow.
But $1 billion.
Yeah, $1 billion is a lot of money.
A lot of money. A lot of money.
I know, especially when you start something from nothing, you know?
Exactly. Like someone probably just started this website, an entertainment website, and now it's huge.
Yeah.
In 2006.
Well, I wish it upon myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all of us.
By the way, the studio looks incredible.
Oh, did you see that?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know,
the
it's
Radio
not a
Temptation.
Real. Yeah, but it's not a real studio. You know that. There's no way we could create something like that here.
Is it green screen?
Yeah, it's green screen.
But it looks
great. But it looks great, right?
It looks so great.
I know, and I've got a different one for each show, so it's going to be amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for noticing, you know? I mean, it's like, to me, Also, you know how he described, he had like vision in his mind of how the book was going to be? This is the same thing with me. It's like I knew how it needs to look, you know? Mm-hmm. Nobody does it like this, not with a radio station, you know? I mean, you guys have like your own set and stuff, a physical set and stuff, but you guys are like 100% video and stuff.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
And so this was video is a secondary thing to a radio station. Uh-huh. So we had to adjust it that way. But if you look at other radio stations that are trying to stream video, it looks pathetic. It looks like somebody's basement or something, you know?
No, it looks absolutely great. And the green, it just, it looks real.
Yeah.
It does.
It does, I know. Yeah. And it's high resolution and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud of it, you know? So now I'm just looking forward to broadcasting more shows and everything. And for those of you interested in my new station, it's radiotemptation.com. And don't worry, there's no nudity or anything. We're just like talking about adult topics. And it's a... You know, it's a lot of fun. So I think you guys at least check it out and see what it's about. I'm proud of it, and we have video and
you
we have chat.
Be. It looks
so
amazing.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. No, and I had no video experience whatsoever in lighting or anything, you know.
Wow.
So it's working out, which I'm happy about. So going back to the ferry in Korea that sank. I guess now the captain is under investigation. They have pictures of him abandoning ship in his underwear. Okay?
Huh?
Now, you understand?
What?
Yeah. Captains are supposed to be the last ones to disembark from a ship.
Right.
Always. And but you often find that it's not the case. Like the same with that Italian ship. If you remember a year ago, 2 years ago, that tipped over. And also the captain was like caught leaving the ship, abandoning ship. So this guy, the same thing, you know. And yeah, he's going to be in a lot of deep doo-doo, let me tell you.
Yeah, he is.
And it's such a cowardly thing, you know. I mean, and you've seen his crew is like saving him, you know, rescuing him and stuff rather than dealing with other people, you know. So that's pretty
sad. That's
the sad stuff.
Thing. When you put trust in somebody, I mean, obviously you trust the captain.
Right.
And then they kind of let you down.
Yeah, yeah. And even if it's a symbolic thing, you know, I mean, even if he's not, they're not going to be able to save everybody because of him, it's, you know, it's still like, you know, you got to make sure everybody's okay before you leave because that's the responsibility you were given.
Definitely.
You know, so that's pathetic. I wanted to ask you, so you guys reviewing some shows, some TV shows on yours. What's like a good reality show to check out lately that you would recommend? What do you like?
Well, I should say Chasing Maria on Oxygen at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
on Tuesdays. it's a really good reality show.
Really?
Yeah.
And what station is that on?
It's on Oxygen.
Oxygen, okay.
I watch it at my friend's.
Okay.
Because I don't get Oxygen.
Really?
Which kind of sucks because it doesn't come with my package. That's the only thing about Oxygen Channel.
Yeah.
But I really like, it's just a fun reality show.
Oh.
It's fun. I like it.
So
and they're real. I also like Jesse and Eric, which is Jesse James, who's a country singer.
Right.
And Eric Decker, who's a wide receiver for the Broncos.
Okay. Are they, like they're together in real
life
or
something?
Yeah,
they're married. And they're just having a baby this season. So I like that reality show. I also like Total Divas. It's the WWE reality show.
Yeah.
I've totally gone off all the Housewives.
Really?
Like all of those shows.
None of
they
those
just
anymore.
Drive me insane now. Because it's just so dramatic. I just,
really?
I feel like I'm getting dumber by watching them.
Really?
Because that's just so dramatic.
Right.
And so much, like, I'm sorry, I can't feel bad for you when you're driving around in a Mercedes.
Right.
Or, I don't know, whatever nice car.
Right.
And they have billions of dollars. Like, I just can't feel bad for you when you've fallen out with your friend. I can't. So I like, but Total Divas is probably one of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah, I really like that. I like the ones that include sporting people, like with Eric Decker and then the WWE.
Right.
That's on, both of those are on E. They're both shown on E on Sundays.
Okay.
What other reality shows do I like?
Sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how many of the Housewife shows are there right now?
Oh, there's loads of them.
A lot of them?
On TV right now, there's only New York and Orange County, but there's Beverly Hills, Orange County, New York, New Jersey, Atlanta. Oh, Atlanta's on TV too.
Right
now. Miami got canceled. So there's a good six of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you used to watch all of them?
No. I used to watch Beverly Hills and Orange County.
Oh, okay.
But
more local.
And there's 20 episodes per season.
Wow.
Of those.
Jeez, it's a lot of TV.
It's a lot of TV. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's just too much. Too much. But yeah, Chasing Maria, Eric and Jesse, and Total Divas are my top three reality shows.
Awesome.
For sure.
And you talk about them on your show?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't do Chasing Maria.
Oh, you don't do Chasing Maria?
I don't
Maria.
Do Chasing Maria off the show. No.
But you watch
but
that.
I do, yeah, but I watch that.
Right.
But I do Eric and Jesse and Total Divas.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. And you got, so now the people that are with you, there's like, the last one I saw, there was like two girls and a guy, right?
Yeah, that was the Total Divas one.
Right. So is that like, so for each after show, you have a different crew, right?
Yeah, a different panel, yeah. Right. And it's between 2 to 4 hosts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when do you come on live?
I tape them Mondays, one at 4 p.m., one at 5 p.m.
Okay.
They're both live, and then they get archived onto AfterBuzzTV.com and YouTube.
And YouTube, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I like doing it with different, how you have different panels, because you get different chemistries. And
right.
You learn different things from different people.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So how come do they rotate people there and stuff too? Or,
no, it's pretty much first come, first serve.
Right.
And if you've done a previous season, you get priority for the next season.
I see.
So the Total Divas panel has been the same. The one girl just came on board, but three of us have been there since season one. So season two, it was going to be us three.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who want to watch Charlotte, it's AfterBuzz TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can just Google it, and it'll be all over the place. Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know. I was watching it, but it was hard for me to relate because I'm not a watcher of TV.
Because you don't watch
it,
right.
I don't watch this.
Exactly,
so you don't know what you're talking about, you
mm-hmm.
know. But I imagine for fans of the show, this is amazing, you know.
Yeah, it's cool. And a lot of people, a lot of the fans interact with us on Twitter and YouTube, especially Twitter. And it's fun. I like tweeting back and forward with people.
I like it. Awesome. It gives you a lot of exposure too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between the TV and the radio, you're all over the place now.
Can't get rid of me.
Yeah. Plus you do events and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. A couple more things.
It's Prince William and Kate Middleton's third anniversary coming up.
Oh, it is already?
It is.
Wow,
I know, right?
Like
it doesn't.
Huh?
I know. I'm looking at the photo of when they got married, and she looks stunning. But it doesn't seem like almost 3 years ago.
I know. So you mean we've known Pip Up for 3 years now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Her butt.
What's going on with her? Is she like getting married or anything?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And Prince William, Charles, and Harry. Going through the three, Harry's gone pretty quiet too.
Yeah,
because I think he was getting pretty serious with someone.
That's true. Huh?
But
then he was getting wild for a while, right? All these pictures and stuff.
I know.
Of him.
Gosh, crazy.
There's always the partier in the family.
There is,
you know?
And he seems to be the one.
Yeah, and it's a big embarrassment to the royal family.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But yeah, you know, you have to understand, you can't keep a stiff upper lip all the time, you know?
No, you really can't. And when you do, that makes them go crazy more.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything has to be so proper and everything, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, a kid growing up, they don't want that. They want to be wild.
I know. And just be a normal kid.
Right.
And not be, well, I'm the prince's daughter. I'm the prince's son.
Right.
It's like, well, I'll talk about pressure.
I know, especially Princess Diana's child, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely. But yeah, they're about to have their third wedding anniversary. But they're keeping it low-key because they just went on a tour of New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah, they were traveling with a baby and stuff.
Yeah, so they're keeping it low-key for their third anniversary.
Okay, well, good to know.
In case you were wondering.
Yeah.
Got to get the bit of British news in there.
Yeah. Now, do they live in the palace with the queen, do you think?
I don't think so.
They have separate places,
I
right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. But I'm not sure. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I wonder where they live, you know, if they have a palace too or just
I'm
a
I'm sure
big,
they live in a huge mansion somewhere.
At least, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably close by. Probably on the same land.
Yeah.
Knowing England, they probably had something huge built. And bet we would have heard about that, but...
Yeah. Can you imagine what a different life it is to live like in a huge house like this or live like in a two-bedroom apartment like
oh
we
my
do,
gosh.
You know? I mean, it's just like it's a totally different way of life, you
it
know?
Is.
And I don't know how people can manage a big house like that, but, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know that I would want
you
one.
Need lots
you know?
Of maids.
Yeah.
Lots of maids. I can barely keep my apartment clean.
Yeah. I know, me too. Sometimes the dishes pile up, you know? But I don't like dishes in the sink, so I started telling myself,
no.
Look, it only takes you exactly 3 minutes to empty out the dishwasher and put the other dishes in there, you know,
completely.
As you go. And that's what I'm doing because I'm a very neat person, but sometimes I rebel against having to do things that mm-hmm. I don't like to do.
Right.
You know, I never enjoyed doing things that I don't like. Well, I guess by definition, you don't. but you have to do them, you know, and sometimes I just try to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I like to keep it clean and neat and everything. And the maid comes and she looks and she's like, do I really need to do anything here?
And that's a good thing.
The funny thing is I pick things up before she shows up too, you know.
It's right, not like you're I clean leave it. For the maid.
Yeah, exactly. I don't leave it for her because God knows, man, they'll throw your stuff anywhere and you can't find it.
I know.
You know, they mm-hmm. they put things back wrong and and that's it's crazy.
That's funny.
I know. I don't know if you heard that Paul Simon and his wife were picked up by the police. You know who Paul Simon is? Simon and Garfunkel, they were like, you know, The Sound of Silence, Mrs. Robinson, these songs. I mean, look, I don't expect you to know him. He's 72 years old now. And his wife is 47. I mean, how do you get a 47-year-old when you're 72? I guess you do, you know? When you're Paul Simon, you do.
Right.
But I guess they had like a domestic fight or something. And his wife is famous too. Her name is Edie Brickell. And she had a couple of songs that I know of. And so they got picked up by the police. And she says, I picked a fight with my husband, blah, blah, blah. So they were released and everything. But just think, you know, when you're in the public eye, how embarrassing it is.
I know.
Everything that you do, people know about.
Yeah, and that's for a fight.
Right.
So they got, that is.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, to be caught like this.
Get your dirty laundry.
Yeah, exactly. Aired out for everybody, you know. Yeah. Who needs to know that, you know?
Yeah.
But it happens, you know, it mm-hmm. happens and people do crazy stuff, you know. And also a FedEx employee, I guess, shot and wounded 6 people.
Oh, God.
In Atlanta. And people shoot it. And then he killed himself with a shotgun.
That's like the worst then when you go and...
I know. Like your place of work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the place where you expect to feel safe and everything.
Right,
and
exactly.
Then you get all these wackos and usually probably not somebody that you even suspected, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, crazy world.
It is.
All right. Well,
on that note, in this crazy world we live in.
Yeah, I know. I have a busy day today. How about you? Are you busy today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Somewhat.
Yeah. Staying busy is a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Keeps you out of trouble.
Definitely.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. Thanks to Tom Wilde for coming on the show mm-hmm. with his book, The Blood of Alexander. Go out and get it. And Charlotte, we'll see you tomorrow.
You will.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.